To begin, could you share a little bit about your background and what people should know about you?
Yeah, well, my name is Beatriz Soto. I graduated from Basalt High School, so I've been in our valley for over 22 years now. I am an architect and have been working on sustainable design and high-performance buildings for most of my career. Now I run Defiende Nuestra Tierra, which is a program that is aimed to protect public lands and our environment and connect with the local Latino community and make sure that we have diverse voices within our community fighting for our public lands. A lot of the work that I do as well in that organization is building civic engagement within the Latino community as well and the broader community. I am the mother of a 9-year-old that goes to GSES, and I am also a founding member of Voces Unidas de las Montañas, which is a nonprofit aimed to empower the Latino community to advocate for themselves. So that's a little bit of what I do in the community.
What motivated you to run in the first place?
This is something completely new for me. I am not a politician. Honestly, I never thought that I would be doing this. It wasn't part of my plans. I think what really motivated me to run is once COVID hits our community and I start to see the disparities that I think a lot of us have been witnessing, not only locally, but nationally, about how a lot of our systems have failed a bigger part of our community and how a lot of our infrastructure and safety nets are leaving a lot of people behind. This is when I really start to feel a lot more passion in terms of what are we doing locally, and it really motivates me to step up.
What do you think is currently working in Garfield County?
I would say the spirit of our hardworking community. They have kept our economy and our health during these really hard and unprecedented times. We've been meeting with community members from all sectors, and we have heard some incredible, amazing stories of resiliency, innovation, empathy from people in our community filling in the gaps where our local government is failing. Like a local owner of a construction company, he was sharing how he has paid from his small reserve of funds to keep his men and their families going during the pandemic and when there was a lot of closure. So it's been fascinating to see how the community has really stepped up to protect the families that are the backbone of our community. So I've seen private and nonprofits as well just start to mobilizing and to grand extent, right, to reach sectors of the community that they have never served. And I've seen so many nonprofits go beyond their mission to help our working class families. And again, with great innovation through rent support initiatives, food distribution, services that are now needed that weren't previously needed. So it's been great to see that we have such a great community with so much passion to uplift everybody in our community, regardless of status, regardless of where they come from, regardless of language. And it's heartwarming, right, to see how united our community is and what we're doing to support each other and make sure that we all come out with our heads strong and very resilient.
And so what do you think needs to be changed within the county?
So at a government level, I think we need to build trust and relationships, partnerships across all sectors of our community within our county. We need a local government that is collaborative and welcoming. If we have learned anything with COVID, again, as I mentioned, is that a lot of our systems are failing the most vulnerable in our community, and that the health and the well-being of all people, even if they have less political power or wealth, the health being, affects all of us. It affects businesses. It affects schools. And if the information isn't getting out there and the resources aren't getting out to our most vulnerable, then we are failing as a society, right? And I think we can do a much better job from a government standpoint to make sure everybody is uplifted, that when we come up with solutions, that we're actually hearing from the community and there's buy-in and there's participation And also, where are we allocating our resources, right? It's pretty interesting to see that our county commissioners are spending really large sums of money defending corporate interests versus spending that money into the community, into our local businesses, into the working class families. So I think how we administer our resources and where we direct them can really change as well. So that's another big thing that I think our government can really step forward and set an example in terms of supporting our community. You know, as a community member that is struggling to meet my basic needs sometimes, I would love to see our elected leaders giving us hope, addressing our basic needs, make sure that our government is accessible and that it has, you know, a humane treatment to everybody that wants and needs support. I feel as we are right now, our government is tone deaf. And the way I see it, the way forward is to create a culture where we all feel welcomed and that we feel comfortable to approach our county commissioners, where people feel that they're heard and that we know that we're not just, you know, saying, yes, thank you for your comment, but it's actually something that policy will be driven from what we're hearing from our community, and make sure that this is a place where, regardless of your language, you are welcomed and there is a way to communicate. Regardless of your age, you feel safe, feel valued, and just make sure that everybody in Garfield County knows that they belong at the table and that their voice is important, and that together we're going to create solutions that don't leave anybody behind.
So if you are elected, what are your top priorities as soon as you start?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure that we have a government that works for all. It feels like our local government works for a selected few. It has been working for a certain part of our community, but a lot of us feel left out. And I want to make sure everybody feels heard, that the solutions that we are creating and the policies that we are creating include our diverse community. And when I talk about this, you know, I'm thinking about affordable housing and accessible housing, critical infrastructure, reliable internet access, good public transportation, increased transparency and participation at the BOCC decision-making tables. I also want to work really hard to conserve our natural heritage. I know a lot of our community members are concerned about the effects of climate change, and we're starting to see that through extreme wildfires, drought. People are really concerned about the amount of snow pack that we're getting each year. And some of the policies that I want to work on is just having a sustainable outdoor recreation. How do we make sure we balance the environment and we balance the different industries that we have, and that we're still supporting ranchers and the agricultural nature of our community? How I want to make sure that all the government buildings are run on clean energy, and that we're moving forward and thinking about how we're going to transition to cleaner energy in our county, and how we can do this in an equitable way where we are taking into consideration people's economy and making sure that we can allow businesses and homes and everybody, working class people, to be able to move to a clean economy as well, and continue to protect the Thompson Divide, develop a natural disaster adaptation plan and a climate action plan for our county. The other big part of what I'm going to be working on is investing in our future. So the idea is, how do we diversify the economy, right? How do we support innovators in our community? How can we look beyond a single industry to multiple industries, to multiple sources of income, where we can support minority businesses, where we can support businesses owned by women? How can we move beyond just investing so much money into a single industry to support more businesses, local businesses? Which businesses are thriving, and how can we help them expand so they can employ more people? How are we listening to our young professionals, and how can we help everybody be a critical part of our economy and grow their businesses, grow their ideas, So a big, robust economic development plan is another thing that we're going to be working on really hard as well.
How do we go forward with these programs and these innovations with the potential that we're going to be facing a restrictive budget in the next few years?
I feel like our community is very innovative and we have a very resilient community. And I think that when we truly come together, we can realize that there's a lot of great ideas out there and we have a lot of talent to move us forward. I see this as an opportunity to kind of dismantle some of the systems that are failing and being able to reinvent a lot of the economic injustices that we've seen in the past and how we're keeping such a large sector of our community out of the decision-making process where there's no larger buy-in. So again, I know it's going to be, there's going to be challenges, but I also believe challenges, we can be incredibly innovative, right? We can work together really, really hard and we can build bridges beyond whatever we've done in the past. So I know it's going to be, there's going to be hardship, but I also feel that instead of being reactive and just letting things happen to us, how can we be proactive? How can we make sure that we have a plan? And it's not just a plan that, you know, I come up with, but it's a plan that the community comes up with, right? Where we're all buying into it. We're all participating. We're all key members. And unless we don't have government that is working together and that is listening to each other and that is bringing our diverse groups and interests and potential together, we're not going to be able to achieve that. So the way that I see it is just, first of all, building our community, right? Building the resiliency and the connection. And then from there, you know, I believe tons of innovation is going to come because we all want to see Garfield County thrive, right? We all want to see our economy thrive. And this is something that unless, again, we have community buy-in and that we make sure that we're all on board and passionate and moving forward together, I mean, that's just, there's so much potential.
Thank you so much for speaking with KDNK News. Is there anything else that you would wish to touch on, Beatriz Soto?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I don't consider myself a single issue candidate. I know I'm Latina and I recognize that. But I just want to make sure that the community knows that I will fight for the Latino community, but I will fight for all our community. And I will represent all our community regardless of age, regardless of if you're a newcomer or if you've been here for generations, regardless of your language. And I'm definitely doing this for the better of all our community.
I suppose that inspired one more question. So what do you feel, you being fresh in the government, obviously it would have its challenges, but what are the advantages as well of having somebody with a fresh perspective?
Well, here's the thing about government and our representatives, right? What you want is representatives with different lived experiences, right? It's really hard for you to speak for a certain part of the community or a certain lived experience that you've never had before. While, yes, experience is great, I think as elected officials, it's their responsibility to mentor and to make sure that you are teaching the next generation. In terms of term limits, it's like, I don't think we're a community that is big enough to have career politicians. Somebody serving in an office for 28 years honestly sounds ridiculous to me. And I think that even though we are maybe the younger generation is inexperienced in terms of managing government, we're also bringing new creative, innovative solutions. So I think we have to look at the different backgrounds people have and just continue. Now, if you think about it, government is supposed to be, you know, built on a certain system that's working, right? Whatever is working, you will continue to do what is working. What is not working, you will reinvent it. You will find new creative ways to make sure that what is not working is starting to work. And I think it is important to have different people with different experiences. You know, we have so much talent in our community, from people that work in the investment and economic sectors, people that work in the environmental sectors, people that work in the private realtor and development sectors. These are all great experiences to bring to government and to look at things differently. What happens is when you have somebody that's been there for so long, it becomes monolithic, it becomes stalled, there's no new ideas, there's no new path forward. And society changes, culture changes, our demographic change. And if we're not changing with our community and we're not advancing with our community, we're just staying with solutions that were from the 90s. We're no longer in the same time. We have new challenges, right? We have completely new challenges, and we need new solutions for the challenges of our time.
Thank you so much for your time and for your dedication.